comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here. All across America and around the world, it is time for talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. Following last Friday night's show, I received a number of emails requesting the link to the documentary that I mentioned on the show. You know, the documentary about the secret KGB film and files, and about finding and excavating the tomb of Osiris. Well, as I stated in the show, the link to that documentary was in last week's edition of the K-Files, our free weekly newsletter. And for those who have been quietly sitting on the sidelines and hearing me say night after night after night that being in the know is much better than being in the dark, and who have just yawned and let it pass, you missed the link. Now, I don't want you to miss out on all this good information, and that is why I publish the K-Files. And that's why I give it away for free. But I can't force you to wake up and subscribe. That's something you have to decide to do on your own. However, I do encourage you to subscribe so that you will not continue to sit in the dark while everyone else around you is in the know. So, why not click that link on my website that says K-Files and subscribe right now? That would be a good thing to do. There's no genius in being in the dark, you see. Indy 104, our affiliate in the Los Angeles area, is offering something brand new, and you need to know about it. You can now catch The Kevin Smith Show 7 nights per week. Of course, you get it live Monday through Friday, just as always. And then on Saturday and Sunday at Indy 104, you can get the best of Kevin Smith. So check out Indy104.com, and that way you can access The Kevin Smith Show 7 nights per week. When Jerry Wills was in New York a couple of weeks ago, he did something that caught a lot of folks by surprise, including me. Jerry and I have been friends for several years now, and I knew his background. He had even shared part of his personal story on my show, but not all of it. And I really did not expect that he would ever go public with the whole story. But he did, and he did it in front of an international television audience. His story of being a visitor from another planet and being sent here as an infant to be raised among us and to be exposed to our thoughts and our ways, to offer information and advice as there was need and opportunity. His story is now known to the world, something that I've known for some time. His story of being only one among many such infants brought here and left in the care of the military is something that some people find shocking. Well, we're going to talk to him tonight about the repercussions of coming out. We'll be back. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jerry Will, someone you're all familiar with. And as I was saying in the top of the show, a couple of weeks ago, Jerry stood in front of a television camera and broadcast to the world his story. And we've all heard accounts of several former insiders with clearance to know about such things. And they've told us that the military is well aware of extraterrestrials who look just like us. And we've heard that the military are very nervous about these folks. So now that Jerry has gone public, what, if anything, has been the result? Have there been any repercussions? Has there been any strangeness added to his life? So here to talk with us about life out in the open is my friend, Jerry Wills. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, everyone.
Jerry, you know, right after you did the television broadcast, I had you on the show, and we talked about this. And you said that nothing had happened, and there had been no repercussions. But that was almost immediately after your broadcast. And now we've had some water under the bridge. Now we've had some time, and you've been traveling across the United States of America, visited a lot of parts of the country, and you're back home now. So what about it? Have there been any repercussions or any weird things added to your life that weren't there before?
No, not really. You know, when we left the New York area, we were in our Suburban, excuse me, and traveling. We traveled for about 9 days, I think, logged several thousand miles. But, you know, the weird things that happened when I was working with people who had incidents in their life where they needed my help, and I guess that was about as weird as it got. It didn't, there really wasn't any repercussions as such, at least not so far.
Have there been any results, any ripples on the water, positive or negative? Other than, I mean, you know, I've asked about repercussions, but what about any other ripples on the water as a result of your announcement?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've had hundreds of emails from folks from around the world. I couldn't tell you immediately what parts, but we're talking about Europe, Australia, the United States, Japan. Oh, gosh. Just, you know, hundreds of emails. And in every instance, the folks who have written tell me that they respect the work that I've done. They respect, you know, the healing work that I've done, as well as with Expedition TV. And that the information that I've provided them was a bit of a surprise, but it was also thrilling. And that it gave them hope that there was some way that maybe the events in this world might turn around and things might get better. There have also been a few folks who've written who say that they have always suspected the thing about themselves, but thought that they were just a bit wacky. They never fit in. They were like the black sheep of their family. A few who wrote were actually orphans. They didn't have any family. And it gave them a sense of belonging to something much greater. Whether they are or are not from a place, I couldn't tell you. But basically, they've let me know that I've inspired them, which is good, I think.
Yeah, it is good. Jerry, are you using some type of a headphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're cutting out real bad. I think there may be a bad link between that and your telephone. But we were able to make out most of what you said. Why would you suspect I mean, we've all heard these accounts of people who have had, you know, former top secret and above top secret clearances, and they say that the federal government knows, the military knows, about extraterrestrials that live among us, that look just like us, and they're very worried about these folks. So if we take that on the one hand, and then we have you coming out and saying, I'm one of those, and there are no repercussions, what would you suspect would account for that?
Well, because I'm just one wacky guy making a claim that can't be substantiated. If there was a craft, a saucer, whatever, that landed, and people that look like us were to get out, walk around, then, yeah, they'd have a pretty serious situation on their hands, because there's no disputing the fact that there they are, they arrived in this thing, and they're here and they look like us. That would, at that point, raise some very serious issues.
Do you suspect that there may be something that you know, or that the powers that be, and that would include whoever is involved in all this in the military, think you know, that is keeping them backed off of you?
Well, I really don't have any idea about that, Kevin. It was related to me many years ago that, let's call it, the powers that be knew of my origins and knew the origins of others who are here, and perhaps they even know who they are. I don't. And that there was a treaty in place that allowed us to be here, and it was respected.
So, it's because of this treaty, then, that they would not move in and harass you.
Well, that's to my understanding. The word treaty was not their words at the time. The actual wording that was used was that there was an agreement that was in place.
Now, with this, we've all heard of a document called the Tau Ceti Treaty. And the document, as it was released on the Internet, it is my understanding, has been pretty thoroughly debunked or discredited. But that doesn't debunk the idea that such a treaty may exist. It just debunks that text of such a treaty. But would it be something like that Tau Ceti Treaty?
Well, I'm not familiar with the Tau Ceti Treaty, and I don't think that if there actually was a treaty in place, it would be called that, because the people from there don't call themselves as being Tau Ceti. So that immediately raises a red flag to me, because it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it would be something like that or not, because I'm not familiar with it.
I may have asked you this before, and I don't want to sound trite, but I'm curious, so I have to ask it. And I don't recall if I've asked it before. But on the planet of your origin, which you told us the name of it, do the people there speak with voices like we speak, or is it all telepathy?
It's both. At least that's my understanding.
Mm-hmm. When they spoke with you, did they use voices?
Yeah, they did. That's how it all started.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a conversation like you and I would have. But then it progressed, it evolved into a telepathic conversation. And there were times when I had meetings with them that it started that way and it ended with speaking. So it wasn't always exclusive one direction or the other.
Now, we had a question that came up. Actually, this question has come up several times with several different guests about telepathy. whenever you're communicating with them telepathically, is that something that you find you can do with them, but you can't do with humans? Or is it the same with everybody?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, for myself is all I can answer. I found that with these folks that I visited with, it was really quite easy to communicate with them. There have been times I've had that kind of communication with people, but not to the extent that I have with these extraterrestrials. I don't know what the difference is. I don't know if it's just conditioning or what. I just don't know.
Well, I'm sure that later when we open up the telephone lines, we will have quite a number of folks that will want to call, and they'll have questions for you and input and so forth. Just another question or two along this line, and then we'll change directions. You said that you've gotten email, a lot of email, from people since you did the television show where you told your story. You've gotten a lot of email, and some of that email is from people who say that they feel that you've given them the courage to come out with their story, which is similar. How many of you are on this planet?
Well, I don't have any idea. The only thing that I know is that there were quite a few others, and they were brought here over the course of a couple of decades that I'm aware of. I don't know if it was more than that or not. I don't know if there was a change in the way that people were brought here or the way that things were handled, but from what I know, there was a couple of decades, and so I would say there would be quite a number of folks here.
Do you expect that now that you've come forward, that we're going to be seeing more and more and more folks step forward and say, I'm one too?
Well, maybe so. I mean, the whole concept behind this was the approaching close of this age, you know, the 2012 thing. And, you know, I can't help but believe that perhaps this is the time for these folks to either wake up and realize who they are or find the courage to step forward and say, this is who I am, this is what I have to offer. Every one of these people who brought here came with something to offer that would benefit this world in small and large ways. It isn't always gigantic, super impressive event.
Yeah, we're losing you again, Jerry. It's breaking up pretty badly.
All right. What I was saying is, it isn't always super impressive events that a person has to do in order to make a difference in their corner of the world.
Uh huh. So, you would not expect for the majority of them to step forward then, I guess.
Well, I don't know what to expect, really. I'm waiting to see. I'm kind of watching like everyone else would be, you know. I'm curious to see what happens next.
In the original movie, not the remake, but the original, The Day the Earth Stood Still. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've got a copy of it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Now, there's a guy that looked just like all of us, and look what happened to him. Doesn't that disturb you a little bit?
Well, sure it does. But take a look at what they did to Jesus when he was healing people. That disturbs me too, but I still do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's better to take a risk and try to do the right thing than it is to do nothing and live life as a coward.
Well, I certainly agree with that. All right. we're going to move away from that topic just a little bit, and we'll in a way it is sort of related, but only very distantly. There is a documentary I mentioned to you. This documentary is narrated by Roger Moore. And I talked about it on last Friday's show, and I won't get into all the details except to say that this documentary deals with uncovered or discovered, revealed secret KGB film and files that discuss something called Project ISIS that the Soviet Union ran in Egypt during the Cold War. And to make a long story short, the story is that they found and excavated the tomb of Osiris, whom the Egyptians call the visitor god. And the KGB film shows inside the tomb. It shows the KGB and Russian military taking the lid off the sarcophagus, and you get to see inside the sarcophagus. And there's a body in there. So this is ostensibly, this is the body of Osiris, the visitor god. And the story is that there was a group of gods that came from the stars, and then a visitor god came. And he was not listed in the pantheon of all these other gods, but he's called the visitor god. And then this group of gods at one point decided to leave, and they went back to the stars. But the visitor was left behind. He stayed here. And according to the Egyptians, he taught them the magic of numbers, and taught them the movements of the stars, and the sciences. And he said that upon his death, that's not the end of the story, because he will return, and he will take up residence with them again. Well, there's another interesting part of that story, and it has to do with a group called the Followers. And I'll tell you that when we come back, and then I want to get your impression of what might be up there. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills this evening. And, Jerry, the rest of that story that's very interesting, there's a whole lot of it that's interesting. And as I said, I won't get into all of it tonight. I covered it on Friday night. But one of the things that's really interesting about it is that there was a group of people in the KGB, mainly computer technicians and programmers, analysts, people like that, familiar with this material. And what they did is they formed a group called the Followers. Now, some of these people that had worked on this project committed suicide. Some of them exhibited strange behaviors and so forth. But the rest of them formed this group called the Followers. That's what they called themselves. And they calculated, they believed that when that sarcophagus was opened, it sent out an electromagnetic signal to the star of origin. They calculated what that star was. It was in the Orion constellation. They calculated how long it would take to reach Orion, and they calculated what would be the soonest that people from that planet in that star system could respond by coming to Earth. And they came up with April the 23rd, 1985. On April 23rd, 1985, that group chartered a bus. They went to Egypt. They chartered a bus. They went out to a desert location. One of them was videotaping with a VHS video camera. And from the time they got off of the bus until they disappeared, the tape was running. And what it shows is they were all gathered together waiting for the arrival of, I guess, Osiris. There was a flash of light in the sky, and the camera fell to the ground. These people have never been found. Only the camera and the videotape were found. And there was an article in the newspaper, English language newspaper, simply stating that a group of Russian citizens, tourists, had disappeared inexplicably. So the bus is there, the camera is there, but, you know, they're gone. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's really quite a thing. I don't have any idea, Kevin. I it's just remarkable. You know, the thing that comes to mind when you were telling me that story is that it's part of the idea that they have that the signal would take a specific duration of time is based on the science that's known, that was known, you know, at that period in history. I think it's been pretty well proven that it's possible to transmit faster than light, and chances are, if there was some high technology like that, the moment the sarcophagus was opened, they knew it at the other end. It wouldn't have taken a duration of time. These folks travel between the stars, kind of like we walk between rooms. They don't really have to travel and take a long period of time to get from point A to point B. They basically blip out in one place and blip in another. So, you know, if they arrived at that location, you know, it seemed to me that probably the visitors had calculated that's what these scientists would have thought, or they may have been watching them for quite some time, and when they showed up at this location, that's what they knew was expected to happen. To have them all taken, well, that's very surprising. There was a similar incident that took place down in South America where a large ship was coming down on top of a mountain, and the people in this remote region go up there and talk to these visitors. The downside was that a few of them went and they never returned either. So during my contacts down there, I was told about this, and it was later when I had a long conversation with my friend Jim Hertak that he was going to investigate it, and you know, he was fully aware that you don't want to go with these folks because you have no idea who they are and what they may end up doing, and they may look like people, but they may not be. So I just don't know.
This story of Osiris being a visitor god, of course, the assignation of God or divinity is something that the people placed upon the visitor. And this we've seen down through history. I mean, even in fairly modern history, when Military planes would land in remote places where people had never seen an airplane. They thought it was divine. And so I'm not sure that Osiris would have said, "I'm a god." That's certainly how the people referred to him. This visitor being left behind sounds a great deal like the story that you shared with us about you and a bunch of others who have been left behind. And by the way, I have had someone else on the show that has told me that they were left behind here that way. So apparently it's a common practice. But here, Osiris was apparently full grown. Jerry, when they did the, when they took the sarcophagus, they took the skeleton, and they took it, I suppose, back to Moscow, because the KGB has had their forensics people do a facial reconstruction based on the skull.
Right.
On my show, during the commercial breaks, sometimes we show, it looks like an alien face, and it says, the caption says, it's our favorite show.
Right.
That's the face.
Wow.
I mean, it's not that it looks like that. That's the face. But he wasn't short. Like a gray, he wasn't short.
No, and that stands to reason, because there are others out there who have similar characteristics as the grays, but they're kind of a bluish-white color, and they are taller. They're anywhere from, well, I think the tallest one I've ever seen was around 6 foot tall.
Mm.
So it's not surprising that, you know, there'd be something like that. I mean, of course, it's surprising there's something like that, but I understand how it could be possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was just judging as I looked into the sarcophagus. By the way, the KGB film is very clear. It's not one of those out-of-focus, fuzzy, bumping-around kind of films. This was a good film. When you look into the sarcophagus and you see the Russian military guys working around in the tomb, so you see what size they are, and you just compare with what's in the sarcophagus, he looks like maybe he's a little bit shorter than most of them, but not much. I'm guessing maybe about 5'10".
Yeah, that's kind of an average height that I remember. I only saw these folks on a couple of occasions, so it wasn't like I met with them on a frequent basis. They basically were, they were more like the scientists. They, if you could compare them to something that you could relate to, you might compare them to Spock, because they really didn't show any emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Pure mind, very intellectual, very powerful telepathically, and highly advanced beings. It wasn't that they didn't have compassion. They did, because they helped me. But they didn't show any emotion. They went about their work and did what they needed to do, and they understood I was afraid. And so they left the room, came back with someone who looked more human, so I wouldn't be quite as upset as I was. It was kind of a strange story, but of course all of them are at this point, I suppose.
Why do you think you would have been afraid, since you are from out there?
Well, because I had only seen, I'd only seen something like this once before when I was very young. And again, it was a moment when I had gotten, at this point, I'd gotten, what was it, I think it was like the mumps or the measles. And they showed up to administer some medication to me. And I wasn't afraid at that point, but, you know, when you get older, you hear ghost stories, you hear all kinds of tales, and when you see something that doesn't look human, and you're, you know, in 14, 15 years old, it can be a bit alarming, especially when you're just not ready for that sort of thing to happen. There were other things going on as well that were a bit uncomfortable. So when I saw them, I didn't know if they were the good guys or the bad guys.
Did you know at that point that you were from out there?
No, not really. They didn't disclose that to me for a couple of years after that point. They just seemed to be very interested in me and very interested that I would be all right. They were very keen on the idea that I would be able to understand everything that they had to relate to me. And it was always done in such a way that there were people who looked like myself who were doing it. It wasn't until I had this strange encounter with these taller bluish-white beings that I'd ever met anything up close that didn't look like a human. And these people did not.
But they were with the visitors that you were accustomed to seeing, right?
Yeah, they were. I was told later that they were working together, that they were part of the same, you know, group of interested parties.
All right, we have a break coming up here in just a few pardon me. Pardon me, I normally can catch the kill button before that happens, but that was sudden. Anyway, we have a break coming up here in just a few seconds, and when we come back, we'll kind of wrap up talking about Osiris and some of the things that look a little similar to your story. And then we'll open up the telephone lines and allow people to give us a call and talk to you. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Talking with Jerry Wills this evening, and Jerry, we were talking about this Osiris story. Apparently, this story is not unique. Apparently, this sort of thing has been going on for centuries, and I mean, is it possible that this Osiris story, a visitor that was left behind to teach people, could also be the same thing that happened with Quetzalcoatl? Was he possibly a visitor that was left behind to teach people? And then, you know, you and the others like you that were seated here over a couple of decades, is that the same thing?
Well, possibly. But, you know, I think it's important to define a timeline here at this point, because, you know, what we're looking at is in a timeline, to my view, is an area of time that is before the quote-unquote Great Flood.
Yes.
And after that, and it's after that that mankind was in a lot of trouble and was doing its best to reorganize on this planet. And it's at that time that these beings showed up and started doing the things that they were doing. As far as Quetzalcoatl, there are actually several different individuals who were considered Quetzalcoatl, But I don't think that Quetzalcoatl was one of these people. I think Quetzalcoatl was a Phoenician. I have some, you know, we look for lost cities and ancient knowledge, and we've come across information that pretty clearly spells out that Quetzalcoatl was a Phoenician. He wasn't an extraterrestrial, but that doesn't disqualify the idea that there were extraterrestrials in that part of the world who came down to try and help humankind.
Well, now that's curious. How do you come up with him as a Phoenician when they describe him as a winged serpent?
Well, he's the plumed serpent.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at the queen palm, which was the emblem on the flag of the Phoenicians, what you have is a long shaft with a head, and then you have the green pluming away from it. And Quetzalcoatl was a word that was being used for the Phoenicians that would describe that particular flag. And they brought high technology and a lot of goods from the Middle East to that part of the world in Mexico. And they had a trade agreement with that part of the world as well, because they were traders. And, you know, the common term for this flag, for this emblem, this queen palm with the green fronds coming out the top of it, was Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent. That's what it looked like to them.
Hmm. All right. So, from your point of view, then, Quetzalcoatl was not divine.
No, I don't think so, but I think he was made into a deity after his death. He was first considered the god of the ocean, because this fellow, he had figured out, you know, the route, how to get over the currents. After his death, there was something that took place. A volcano erupted. And when the volcano erupted, it really threw a lot of ash into the atmosphere. This was devastating for the Phoenicians, because the way that they worked, they navigated by night. They used the stars. Well, with the ash in the upper atmosphere, they couldn't navigate. So their trade route back to the New World, this part, you know, North and South America, Central America, they couldn't navigate it. That's the only means they had, is by the stars. Well, when the ash finally cleared enough for them to navigate again, then this fellow, who was called Quetzalcoatl, was then made into a deity for the god of the sun, because when they could navigate, they came back to their original trade routes. It took about 5 years. And when they came back to their original trade routes, here was the flag again, here were the people again, the bearded white men, and, you know, they were responsible for bringing the sun back, the stars, everything. And so Quetzalcoatl was then made into the sun god, and remained as such up to this day. But there were others who were here who were not from this world. When I had a conversation down in Peru, I was at a place called Ollantaytambo, actually a little bit beyond that, up the Valley of Peace, and I met up with some people who, as I mentioned before, they said that they were Pleiadians. By this time, I was ready to believe that they were Pleiadians, because, well, if someone lands in a UFO and says, I'm from such and such a place, and they do these amazing things, who am I to say that they're not? So, they basically gave me because I wanted to know about the Mayas, the Mayan culture, because they were certainly highly advanced and very sophisticated, and what they told me was that the first Maya were called the Caramaya, and the Caramaya came from the stars. It would be but about 2 years later that I would be in that part of the world, and what I was told by the Mayan elders is that the first Mayans were Caramaya, perfect fit for what I had been told. So I believe there were extraterrestrials throughout the world. They were also Central and South America, North America, I'm sure. And they did influence the cultures there.
So if the first Maya came from the stars, what happened? Did they get stranded here some way? What happened that caused them to devolve into where they are today?
Well, two things. The first was that they eventually left. And they left behind very knowledgeable people that they had trained, that had learned the skills under their tutorage. And they became the Maya. So the Maya progressed and continued. Eventually what would happen is that another group from the north would make their way south. And these became the Aztecs. And the Aztecs, because they were so warlike, they were pretty evil people, in my opinion. They basically overran the Maya, and that culture kind of went underground, and it was basically just a free-for-all war for quite a while.
All right, so the original Maya from the stars, does anybody provide a description of them?
Well, I think if you see Pascal's tomb, you see evidence of what they look like, and they look just like people. The difference is they had slightly different features, which is what I saw with these people who were Pleiadians. And according to the Pleiadians, they told me that the Kara Maya were Pleiadians.
So, well, I'm going to ask the question, but we'll get caught by a break, and we'll have to get your answer, I guess, on the other side of it.
Sure.
But this, causes, at least it causes me to have the question. Okay, so what are these folks from the stars doing coming here way, 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 way back thousands of years ago? To an extremely primitive planet and setting up school and teaching people? I mean, what's the deal? What's up? What do they get out of it? Why are they doing it? And maybe that's the wrong question, but it's certainly the question that comes to my mind. All right, we're going to step away for a break here in about 20 seconds or so. And when we come back, we'll get Jerry's response to that. And then we'll open up the telephone lines for you if you have questions or if you have comments that you'd like to address to Jerry. You'll be able to call in and talk with Jerry Wills. As per usual, we'll also have our flash message line open for those outside of the USA and outside of Canada. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking with Jerry Wills this evening. Jerry Wills is talking with us about, at the moment, about the Maya. So, Jerry, let's get an answer, a response, anyway, to the question. Thousands of years ago, you've got all these very, very, very primitive people. Extraterrestrials come here from somewhere. In the case of the Mayans, you were told that they came from the Pleiades. And They set up school, basically, and kind of set up a technical training program as well. Why? Why are they doing this? It's the same thing that the Egyptians say that Osiris did. Why?
Well, I'm really not sure, but I suspect that it had something to do with the pyramids. You know, if you take, for example, the complex at Chichen Itza, this place has just so many mysteries. There are quite a number of unique mathematical things that are put into it, unique attributes like being able to stand in one place and hear a person whisper, even though they're, you know, hundreds of feet away from you. The entire place is just manifest with all of these very odd and peculiar circumstances. One of the things I noticed was that there were several places that were flat top, very small step pyramid kind of, you know, like little stamps. They probably stood maybe 6 foot tall, maybe eight, and they'd be perfect for a saucer like a Billy Myers beam ship, just come right down and sit right flat onto. Why they did this, why they would teach, that's never been made clear to me. I was never told about it, but it may have something to do with the pyramids because, you know, after all, we're looking at an area that is on the same latitude as Egypt for the pyramids, if memory serves me correct. Maybe it had something to do with that. I really don't know.
All right. I want to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to join us. The telephone numbers are appearing on the screen for those of you watching our TV channel. For those of you listening by radio or computers or cell phones or whatever means you're listening, the main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA or Canada, you can call our main number, 623-444-5889. Or, since I don't have a toll-free number for outside of the USA and Canada, you may use our flash message option on my website at kevinsmithshow.com. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. From Washington, yeah?
Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Ryan. How are you this evening?
Jerry, when Travis Walton had his experience, I think it was in the 70s, have you ever checked to see if you had any encounters during the same time period? I heard you say before that you saw some similarities between whatever he encountered and the same contacts that you had. And I was just curious about that because Travis explains these people as wearing blue jumpsuits and that he walked out of the craft into a larger one. And had you ever talked to Travis and compared your stories with each other?
Well, I have met Travis once when I was in Tucson. I think he was on one night and I was on another night for a TV show down there. So we were both in Tucson at the same time, and I basically, without being pushy, you know, I just said, if you ever want to really know what happened, I'll be happy to tell you. And the reason why I told him that is because after the event that he went through, I had another meeting with the people that I'd had meetings with for quite some time over the past, actually, 5 years. And they told me about this because I asked them about it. And they gave me their side of the story.
Fascinating.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Jerry, the people that Travis encountered were in all blue jumpsuits, light blue jumpsuits. What about the people you encountered?
the ones that I encountered were typically in kind of a beige-colored one-piece outfit that went all the way down and became shoes. There was no boots that were pulled on. The entire outfit went right down and fit like socks, except there was some kind of material on the bottom that was like a shoe material. It had a little bit of grooves in it for walking. But there was no sign of the zipper. It looked like, what was it called? I don't know. It was just completely fitting. Completely fitting.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
Kevin.
Jerry. Hello, gentlemen. Ooh, I got a little quote from it from an ancient text. It goes something like this. It goes, "And the sons of God came down and saw that the daughters of men were fair and took wives upon them and had children amongst them." That tells me that we are genetically compatible with whomever these visitors may be. And something tells me that these visitors are more human than many ufologists would like to believe. I honestly think that the Greys were nothing more than androids. But where do us humans on this planet differ from the humans that come from elsewhere?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that we were genetically changed quite a long time ago. Our lifespan is much shorter, and there are circumstances with this planet that also tend to limit life. But you're right, you know, we are no different here or there. We're all people. We're just different people. There are people in China who live to be 130 years old, I'm told. You know, so it's, age really isn't a determining factor. I think the other big difference is that the people on these other worlds, they have learned how to live peacefully with each other. And on this world, it's been kept in turmoil for quite a long time, and basically, from what I was told, it was basically done through the propagation of ignorance and superstitious belief.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And another quote that I really like, and I think I think it's something that these other worlds implored, and that is when the power of love overcomes the love of power, that's when the world is going to know peace.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right. And understanding that we are all connected is an important step in that direction. If we could actually learn to love ourselves, then we would know what it's like to care about others. But from the very beginning, from the inception of life here, people are taught not to love themselves, but to care about others and to give to others in ways that deny the self. There isn't a balanced universe there. There's a time to be selfless and a time to be selfish. And if you don't have that imbalance, then your world is not going to be balanced. And if you can't love yourself, you can't really know what it's like to love another person. And, of course, you can't progress that way.
Well, Kevin, thanks for the call. Kevin was quoting from the Bible, and so in keeping with what you just said, there's another place in that same volume that says, love others as you love yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, you're going to treat other people pretty crappy. So you got to learn to love yourself. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Julia from Texas. How y'all doing?
I'm doing well, Julia. How are you?
Hi, Julia.
Good, thank you. Jerry, I got a question for you. When you asked Travis Walton if he wanted to know what happened to him, I want to know what happened to him. What happened to him?
Well, in a brief summation, he saw the ship. The ship was down when he saw it, and when he and his truckload of friends were noticed, it powered up, and it was going to lift off. Well, the field around the ship is a very, very electrostatically charged field. It's like plasma, really. And the isolation between the ship and the Earth at that point creates a very strong electrical field. Well, Travis picked up a piece of wood, ran up towards this thing, and he got caught in this dispersion field, and the field lifted him up, and he got electrocuted. Had they left, he would have died. So they realized that this had happened. His friends by this time were freaked out and took off. The ship landed, they brought him inside, they administered to his needs, and they brought him back. No, they didn't really bring him back to life, but they saved his life because he was hurt pretty bad. That whole process of recovery took about 4 days. On the fifth day, he was released.
So I had heard him say that he thought it was just a freak thing, that he didn't think that he was one of those people that gets visited often, that it was just an accident. So I guess that's true, huh?
Right, and the reason he didn't have any clothes is because it burned his clothes up.
Oh, wow!
They couldn't return him with his clothes, and they couldn't return him with their clothes, so they left him there naked. Because I was wondering
why he
was naked.
Okay, well, Jerry, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks, Julia. You know, Travis, the last time he was on the show, we talked about this. And he said that, he wasn't at all sure that they intended him any harm, that they may have actually saved his life. So, he talked about that a little bit. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
Jerry, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Since you're quote-unquote coming out, have you heard from any other visitors? Or people
no,
who
I
suspect
haven't.
They are? You haven't?
Well, I've heard from people who suspect they are, but I haven't heard from anyone who's absolutely certain that they are, and I really don't expect to, because if they're certain, the protocol is that we're not to really affiliate ourselves with each other. That was ingrained into us, and the reason is because it would impede anything that we would be here to do. So I'm sure that
in other words,
people,
you're here. Go ahead.
I'm sure there are people out there, maybe people who are even listening tonight, who know who they are. But they also know that it isn't necessary to contact me because there's no validation that needs to take place between us. We know who we are. It's just that simple.
In other words, you're kind of gathering separate sets of data so that you can compare notes later on, something like that?
No, we're basically gathering data for ourselves and waiting and watching and preparing ourselves to do the things that we came here to do. And not in huge overt ways, but in small ways. You know, like when I'm working with someone who has a torn ligament or a bad back, you know, this sort of thing. The telling people that, learn to love yourself. You're greater than you expect that you are, than you suspect that you are, rather, to wake up and find God within yourself. You know, these are all things that are very important if this planet is going to survive and move peacefully into the next age. It's going to be because of the empowerment of the individual to recognize the divine within themselves. So it isn't necessary to go out and wave flags and to create, you know, grandstanding approaches. It happens person to person.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Brent. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 is the main number here. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. That works in the USA and Canada. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Hello, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, Jerry. As Brent put it, since you're coming out, Jerry, is there anything more that you can tell us now about the Stargate of Aramuru? I can't say it, but such as who built it and what was its purpose or anything like that, anything extra you can tell us?
No, you know something, Rick, that it's not that I've had any information I haven't related already. That experience was as surprising to me as I've said that it was. It was absolutely mind-blowing. And the people who made it were the ancients, whoever they are. And I'm sure there were people from the stars who had a hand in this.
Yes. Okay, it's very interesting, no doubt about that.
All right, Rick, thank you for the call. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, as I say, we would be glad to hear from you. And you can call us on our main number, or you can use our flash message feature, and such as Ross from the United Kingdom has done, and we'll be getting to his flash message in just a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin and Jerry, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hi, Rusty.
Hello. Where does that put, how can I say this? If I'm not from, or I don't recognize that I'm a Palladian or whoever it may be, where does that kind of put me in the scheme of things as far as what I can know about what is happening or who I am? I mean, doesn't someone who is aware of where they came from, can't they have more knowledge than the average person?
Well, there are a lot of folks out there, Rusty, who are from other places and don't have that knowledge. Not until they start waking up. And the way that you wake up is you start asking questions, and just like you're doing now. You ask why. You know, why don't I know? Or why am I here? Or what else is there? And as you ask questions, listen for answers. See if you can come up with answers on your own. They'll surface if they're there. But it is important that someone's from another place. That's silly. It doesn't matter where you're from. What matters is where you are now in your frame of reference and what you're doing to do something beyond the norm with your life. Go further, to enhance your life, to become greater than you've ever been. That's the important thing. Being from another place is just another place.
But doesn't it, okay, I guess to move from belief to knowing, isn't the type of visitation as you have had and others have had, doesn't that kind of move you from belief to knowing?
Yeah, of course it does, and that's an important step. And that's why it's important to ask those questions within and trust your answers, trust your intuition, trust who you are and not what you've been told or how you've been trained to be. At that point, you'll start knowing who you are. Even if you originated on this world, knowing who you are is the most important thing that you can do, because at that point, you can go further than you've ever gone, because you'll realize at that point, you don't have any limitations. You weren't born with any. And you don't have any right now. All the people on this world, Rusty, did not originate here. This is ancestral that I'm talking about. The human race did not originate on this planet. So in some way, however large or small, you're not from here anyway. And the trouble
that
you have...
But I've not been shown... You know, I'm such as the experience you had, I have not been shown where I may have come from, but I really don't know who I am other than a human being that was born to my parents on this planet. Now, I have some ideas, you know, and I have some hopes, but that's about it, you know, because I have not had that, I want to say physical, I don't know how else to put it, that, you know, you met people and there's others who's been on UFOs. I have not had that.
Well, exactly, and I understand your frustration. And it's because of that frustration I kept this information to myself for many years, because I didn't want other people who may not have had this kind of experience to feel left out. You know, I didn't want to be looked at like I was privileged or someone special and they weren't. That's not what the situation is.
Right. Well, and that's really the truth, because the really privileged ones grew up in Oak Cliff section of Dallas and graduated from David Carter High School.
Exactly.
And I be one. Now, that sounds facetious, but I said it for a reason. Rusty, we're privileged to be here, regardless of where we may or may not be from, in terms of, you know, were we actually born on this planet, or were we delivered here, like Jerry has told us about. That doesn't matter. We're really privileged to be on this planet. And we're really privileged to be here at this time, because I got to tell you, man, this is the world right now reminds me of professional bull riding rodeo. Have you ever seen professional bull riding?
Watched it on TV, yeah.
I got to tell you, it's exciting. And the deal is, hang on. Just hang on. And you're in for the ride of your life. And we're going to live through it.
I think so. I mean, you know, that's why all the questions, I guess the questions have to come before the answers come, I guess. That's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and Jerry, you can disagree with this if you'd like, but I think for some questions there is not an answer yet.
Well, that's true. But it's the fact that you ask that sets in motion a series of events that leads you down a path that supplies you with what you need.
There you go. All right.
I can see that. Thanks.
Rusty, thanks for the call. Very interesting. And I can see how it could be frustrating for some folks. Because, you know, they want to be from the Pleiades, or they want to be from Mars, or, you know, but the point is, if you go back far enough, we all are. Some of us have been here longer than others. You know, our families have. But if you go back far enough in history, we all come from out there. All right, we have to step away from a break, step away for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jerry Wills. And the telephone lines are open at 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Jerry, I have a flash message from Ross in the United Kingdom. I want to get to that right now. Folks, the lines are open. You can call. We'll put you on hold till I finish with a flash message. He says, "Hi, Kevin. I know it probably gets asked a lot, but what does Jerry think will happen in 2012? Dormant DNA activating, disclosure, solar flare, major climate change? What do you think?"
Well, that's a loaded question. You know, my view on 2012 has always been that I believe something wonderful is going to happen, that it will be a moment when people will realize that they're free to make choices and they're free to discover the divine within themselves, and that because of this, they'll then decide to make this world a better place. as far as dormant DNA activation, I suspect that might be part of the plan. You know, there are a lot of folks talking about negative issues and world changes that are hugely destructive. I think that's a lot of fear, and it's meant to keep people weak. I believe that if we are going to progress into the next stage of our planetary evolution and our personal evolution, that we need to discover who we are and truly be that, if only for just a little while, so we can truly experience what it means to be the keepers of this garden.
Very good. All right, let's go back to the telephone line and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. Good evening, Jerry. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Jerry, you're just talking about the Mayans and stuff, and I mentioned to you once before because I caught it on TV about the Apocalypse Island. Was you ever able to find out anything about that?
You know, we started doing research on that, and then I got pulled away to go to New York. I know Kathy's been doing research on it, but I'm not aware of what she came up with. She's the big deal researcher in the family, but I'll ask her, once we're off the air and find out, because I'm curious. You know, you brought up a very good point about Apocalypse Island, and it really captured my interest. We were going to try to go down there, but they have it closed off where you can't get to it. So that was that much I remember.
Yeah, I know it's dangerous. It's an island, and you got to get somebody to take you there, and you kind of like got to jump off ship and take a little boat to get aboard there, or maybe you can get by helicopter. But yeah, it's kind of desolate island out there.
Well, they're also letting people go there.
Go ahead.
They're not even letting people go there right now.
Oh, really? I can't understand how they can stop people from going there. You know, I don't think anybody owns the island, you know. But that could be. Last time you was on, you know, and I asked you, you know, as far as, you know, 2012, you know, and how we going to take back this, you know, the planet, you know, by mind or might. And, you know, one thing came to mind, you know, and the other guy talked, you know, something about the Bible. And even Jesus said that, you know, you could speak to this mountain and go and tell it to go throw itself in the ocean and it will do it. Which is, to me, is saying we have more power than we can even perceive. And I just kind of wonder what you think about that. And I'll listen offline. Let somebody else in. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, what I think about that is that I agree with it completely, and that's one of the reasons why the quote-unquote dark forces have kept people...
Well, sir, you just disappeared. Let me check and see. Yep. He has just disappeared. Okay. And, Jerry, are you back?
I'm back.
What happened?
I don't know. It beeped me. I started talking about the quote-unquote dark forces, and it just went dead. I suppose what I'm about to say must have some strength to it. The dark forces have sought to keep people segregated, confused, and disoriented, full of information, taught information, that completely conceals the true identity of the people of this world. If you knew who you are, if you knew what you're capable of doing, the good you could do, then tossing a mountain into the ocean would be nothing. Imagine what you could do for world hunger, or for pain and suffering, for hungry children, for lonely people. You have the capacity to change the world. You just need to believe in yourself.
All right. I've got a comment on that, but we'll get back to the comment. Let's take the call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Scott, Los Angeles.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah, I just... I just had to call out Jerry on something that he said, which is absolutely false. He was talking about Travis Walton. He said that he was returned without his clothes, and that is just pure Hollywood fiction. That occurred in the movie, but that is not what happened in the actual events, and that is completely chronicled in Travis's book. So Jerry was absolutely wrong about that.
Okay.
Well, maybe so, but that's what I was told.
Well, it's not true. I mean, you can read Travis's book, you can speak with Travis, and he'll tell you that he was returned with all his clothes, all his original clothes. Anyway,
well, I'll look into that. If that's the case,
that's
been corrected.
Okay, Scott, thank you for the call. Are you a first-time caller?
No, I've called before.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Mike from Kentucky, Kevin. Jerry.
Hello, Mike.
How are you tonight?
Doing good.
So, Jerry, I agree with you because I talked to Travis right after the movie came out. I called him and talked to him. And he explained to me what was, fiction and what was real about that movie. And he said none of that stuff with the cocoon stuff, none of that happened. The thing over his face was all Hollywood to demonstrate his claustrophobia. And he said that he actually did wind up with no clothes on. That was true. So now, somewhere along the line, he's apparently changed it in his book, and why he would do that, I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't there, so I couldn't really address it. I'm just relating the thing that I was told. So, best as I know is what I was told, by these folks that told it to me.
Well, I got it straight from Travis himself, but that was right back when the movie had just come out. And things appear to change from time to time.
Yeah, it sounds like they must have.
Yeah. Maybe that whomever helped him write the book, ghostwriter, or whomever changed it for effect. Because being put back naked is traumatic to a lot of people.
Well, that's true. But, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I'm just telling you this is what I was told. But, that, given everything else they told me, seemed to come true or have elements that I could check into, I just presumed that, that part was true, too. It was like an insignificant act of information sharing.
Well, I guess you and I will just stand on our own, regardless of what the rest of the world says.
Yep, I reckon so. But I appreciate
you
calling in.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. All right, we have a flash message here from, let me see, we've got enough time. Andrew in Australia, and caller, just hang on. Andrew in Australia has sent a flash message. He says, interesting show as always. It's not until one removes the shackles of enforced conditioning, schooling, that one can open their minds to what is around them. I guess you have to stop, take a step back, and say to yourself, show me or tell me what is. Biblical and other texts are full of little messages and directions in what you've discussed tonight. All right. Thank you for the flash message, Andrew. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Jerry. Jerry, when you went on a ride in the spaceship, what did you feel like? What did you think when you went past our moon? The Apollo astronauts never can remember. How about you, Jerry?
Well, it was more like I was watching a scene on a large screen. It wasn't like anything was actually happening. There wasn't any sensation of movement. It was, it was pretty clear that I was looking out of a large window because I could see depth. But it was rather uneventful beyond that point. I mean, it was remarkable, of course, but And I just remember that my heart was racing, and I was pretty excited. It was a breathless experience, but I felt fine.
What about any of the other places that they took you in outer space? Anything remarkable you want to tell us about?
That was the only place they took me. It was there and towards the back side of the moon, and then it was back, and it was all very quick. I would guess it was all within an hour, hour and a half. The only other time that I went with them anywhere was just to lift up, go up through the clouds, and go back down again. It was just a quick elevator ride. And it didn't even seem like anything was happening. They could have been playing a view on a screen, and it would have felt the same, because there was no sensation of movement whatsoever.
Interesting. Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
All right, Tony, thank you. Jerry, we've all heard people talk about that when they stepped inside of one of these craft, it was much bigger inside than they expected. Did you find the same thing?
Yeah, it seemed to be unusually, not gigantic, but when you look at the outside and you look at the inside, it just seemed to be a larger place than what you'd expect.
All right, I guess Doctor Who kind of brought that concept to us as well. To the telephones, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. If you're willing to hang on through the break, you just hang in there, and we'll get to you on the other side of this break. We also have another flash message that has come in that we need to get to. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That's the main number here in the studio, or toll free at 888-223-4599. We're going to step away for the break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Jerry Wills, and we are on Final Approach. Jerry, we have a caller on hold, so let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Ted in New York. You know who I am, Kevin.
I do, Ted.
Yeah, and Jerry, you and me and Kathleen, we met a couple Saturdays back. You remember?
Yeah, of course. Very good. Nice to hear from you, Ted. How are you?
Yeah, great. Say, we're talking about these various races and peoples, and something that's been brought to my attention by a number of eyewitnesses that have seen them are these, there are these, I call them the black-eyed beings, where, normally the sclera of the eye, which is the white part, is usually white in pretty much everyone. But there are these beings walking around where the whole eye is pitch black. And I've talked to vision scientists, some of the leading vision scientists that I know well personally, and they've never heard of this before. And it's curious because, if that part is black, then the vitreous humor inside the eye could be black. So you'd say, well, how could they possibly see anything? So maybe they see in the infrared, but I don't know. People report getting really negative feelings around them, and they've been seen in airports, and no one will even sit next to them at a gate in an airport. Have you run into this, Jerry?
No, I've not seen it, but if I did see one, I would certainly go sit next to them and have a chat.
I'll bet you would, too. There's also some other people around who can change the color of the iris in their eye at will, and they also have the ability to to read minds. And a woman sent me a very long, detailed description, anyway, to sum it up, that when she reached 18, there was this sort of an injection device that would give people this ability, and he'd become part of this little group. But apparently this was some very ancient technology from, you know, out there somewhere. You know, maybe it's a form of nanotechnology, I don't know. But, there's such a huge, diverse, you know, number of life forms on this planet, that it's almost mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And, to take a look at the possibilities of what they have to offer, why they might be here, if they have an agenda or not, you know, there are so many stories. It certainly gives you reason to ask questions and to find out more.
Yeah, it does. And, they have these some sort of special abilities, but I think it's true that we all have abilities and we just have to find them and discover them and develop them. You know, different kinds.
I agree with that.
You know,
All right. Ted, thanks so much for the call.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay, we have time, folks, for one more call. If you call right now, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. If you need to call me toll-free, use that number. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Ray from Orange.
Hello, Ray from Orange.
Don't get him started.
I'm not going to do it, Jerry. I promise. I haven't talked to you in a while, good buddy. I just wanted to go back to when you were first on the program, when it first started today, and you were talking about different people that were brought here and all that. And I just wondered if you could recall when I was talking to you about John Hutchinson.
Yes, the fellow that kind of looks like me.
Yeah, but his mannerisms and the approach he uses when he's talking to you, and of course, you know, look what he's involved in. I think he's one also.
Well, I suspect he is.
I really feel it, so that's why I'm telling you. You should look into that guy and see if there's a connection somewhere.
I've been in touch with him, and there is a connection. But
right.
as I said earlier, that's the first and last contact that we had. He needs to continue with what he's doing.
I think he's going to do that. Yeah, he's very busy right now. And then the second thing that you talked about was the Stargate down at Peru. And when we had our event there the last time Mark and I were, Mark Felder.
Right.
I started RVing that thing, and what I'm coming up with, I could be wrong, but what I see is they're using that Stargate, flying in with their crafts and using that to transport from the crafts to the ground, and they're doing something with not that gate, but they're doing it with some other aspect of the area, and they're just coming down in shifts like that. That's what I see, and it has to do with what's coming up, but that's as far as I can get right now with what I know. And of course, when I got spotted viewing him as he was walking in his suit. I got reported, but nothing has come of that either. I have had nothing that I know of going on. So,
I'm sure nothing will happen unless you interfere with them.
Well, I didn't interfere. Mark tried to take pictures, and they were pushing him, but he can't see them. I was seeing them.
Uh-huh.
So, I just wondered, you know, has anybody ever said anything like that where they actually saw them doing stuff and maybe they had spotted the viewer themselves?
Well, people down there have seen a lot of strange things, as you know. but I haven't spoken to anyone who's told me the things that you've told me. And I suspect the reason for that is because you were there looking in a very particular way, and you were looking for answers, and when you start asking questions, you start getting answers.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking, too. But as time goes on, when you said that our minds were going to be open, and this is going to be a little bit different event than all of this scary stuff that they're always projecting on the TV and all that, I began to think about that, and I believe, you know, I have been becoming calmer inside, like it's a matter-of-fact thing that's going to happen, and all of this thing, the things that you're talking about will come in to view for everybody. Their minds will be opened up, we will be thinking different and feeling different, and we will be able to accomplish all those things that we thought we could, but we just couldn't do. So I'm totally in agreement with you in that aspect. I think it's really going to happen.
Ray, I hate to do this, but we are out of time. We are coming up right on the end of the show. I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting comments. Jerry, I want to thank you for being with us again this evening. It's always interesting when you're with us, to say the least. And be sure you keep us posted, you know, if any weirdness does start happening around you.
Oh, you'll know about it, I promise.
Well, I think one of the weirdnesses is just to be back home in Arizona.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's really weird. Briefly, there seems to be some kind of a subduing energy in this place. I don't know what it is, but it's just very subduing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you and I had talked about that. I don't know what it is either. But when you get out of the area, it's like a whole new world out there. Your mind is all of a sudden set free again for some reason. Well, if you'll stay on the line with me, I would appreciate it. And again, thanks for being with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. That's a wrap for this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.